Duck South Studios in Oxford, Mississippi.
We're mass communicating.
It's a bold strategy, Cotton. Let's see if it pays off for them.
This is the End of the Line podcast, powered by DuckSouth.com.
I gave it a 10.
Sweep the leg. You have a problem with that.
And now, here are your hosts, Rocky LaFleur.
Everybody on? Good.
Great. Grand. Wonderful.
No yelling on the bus.
Josh Webb.
Sorry I had a fight in the middle of your black pants party.
And Jake Latondras.
I am bad news.
Also starring Rob Kroon.
I bet this guy's into the woods $100.
And Bradley Ramsey.
No, Mark, didn't say it.
Showtime.
All right, here we go. Hold your ears, folks. It's showtime.
Showtime, everybody! Showtime!
Welcome to the End of the Line podcast. I'm Rocky LaFleur. After a long hiatus since, well, I guess it's since last Monday. But we're back again this Monday. And, of course, it's Monday. You know who's here with me? Rob, how's it going, brother?
Vernon, everything's pretty good. Just waiting for Arkansas split to come back in.
You got to be excited about this split coming back in. And, all right, kind of like what we were talking about before the show, everything has been open around Arkansas. But on top of that, which I've always said, man, if something closes and something else around you is open, the state that's closed is going to fill up. But
yeah,
on top of Arkansas building up with Ducks, man, it's a strong system moving in. I don't know, 5 to 6 inches of snow, end of the week's what you're talking?
Yeah, and the temperatures is what I like. I mean, we're going from, like, I looked at Chicago and I looked at South Dakota, and I mean, we're talking 40, 50 degree differences. So it's going to be a pretty major move, depending on, you know, if we can keep the wind right at the jet stream and stuff like that. But it's going to be awesome. We should be on them pretty good. Anytime, that's the one thing AGFC does really, really well is when they split this thing, it really, really helps. And, you know, a 10-day rest in Arkansas, that's a long time for them to get in there and eat food and get kind of chilled out. Even these hot days when they don't have to eat, they can just sit around and chill. They don't have anything to worry about.
Hey, so this past weekend, I guess you got it at Gresham was hunting in Tennessee and Missouri. You had some wackos in hunting this past weekend, though, didn't you?
Oh, man, it was wild. These boys were ready to go. We had a couple of really good hunts. And, one of my hunts here, I got invited to go to this place and help them out in Missouri. I'd never been up there in the middle zone. And it was awesome, man. It's in a great spot and a bunch of ducks, all that. And anyway, we was getting late in the day, and I kept joking with them about, you know, we're going to kill a band today. I kept saying that over and over. I said, we're going to kill a band. And I couldn't take my dog. My dog, a couple weeks ago, got caught up in some butt brush and tore his leg up pretty good. So I've had to keep him out for a couple weeks. He should be back by Thursday. But I didn't have my dog, which is my number one band-stealing tool, as everybody should know by now. And anyway, so we shot this duck, and I said, that duck is banded, because I saw it. And I shot it, of course, naturally, because I had never missed one. And the boy I was with, you know, my buddy, he said, I killed that one. I got that one. And, boy, it was a foot race. We took out through there in that cornfield, and water was about knee to thigh deep. And I thought to myself, if I just get out of these ways and get out of these waders and swim, I'll beat him. But anyway, it was a foot race. And he beat me. It was close, but he beat me to it, and it was banded. Pretty cool deal, though. He's banded in Churchill, Nevada, in the Pacific Flyway, and he was killed in the Mississippi Flyway. It was only the 478th band to ever be killed from the Pacific Flyway in the Mississippi Flyway.
Wow.
Yeah, and I lost that foot race, and, you know, I'm glad he got it. It's a national treasure. But it's karma, I guess, because the boy did everything change on me. You know, I got a dose of my own medicine, so to speak.
All right, so what was the physical stature of the guy that you were racing through this cornfield? Because I know your physical stature.
He's got strong legs. He's got strong legs and calves. Plus, he's younger than me by about 4 years, which, you know, that makes a big difference. Once you hit
huge
over,
difference.
I'm 38, and he's 33, 34, but I tell you, to me, because I was out of breath, I was about to die halfway to it, and he didn't even look like he checked up. It was basically like Usain Bolt racing me or you, is what it looked like. I mean, there was fire coming off of his boots, and the water was putting the fire out, but boy, it was serious. I give it to him. He knew what was going on, and he listens to the podcast. So I know that he knew what was going on, and all that band talk got everybody all, you get talking about it. Next thing you know, there's one, he picked it up and threw his hands in there, and I just shook my head, you know, I was sitting there, got water all in my waders, I'm sweating, you know, I'm taking off clothes, I thought I was going to have a heat stroke. You know, I may, if the dog stays out any longer, I may have to start doing some cardio or something, some calisthenics or something. I wasn't ready for all that. I'll tell you that much.
You know, it's people that still won't listen to Mondays with Rob because they listen to one, and that was the one where you talk about stealing bands. And they won't listen to Mondays with Rob now. So, I mean, we don't have to worry about those people not hearing this because they're not going to hear it.
I just don't want anybody calling my grandmother.
Oh, boy. The world is a bright place, sir.
Got all the different stuff in this world. But anyway, speaking of stuff, I got to thinking the other day while we were hunting. It wasn't slow, but it just wasn't a barn burner, you know, that these ducks have gotten so stale and goofy, you know, they've gotten to where they come in ones and twos at a time and stuff like that. And, you know, I saw these ducks last week, you know, we saw a group that had five different species in it. When I saw that, I was like, oh man, we're in trouble till we get a big push. But anyway, I was looking around, you know, I pick up my shell holes every day. For one, I don't want people to know where I'm hunting. And for two, I just feel like it's the right thing to do for, you know, some of the land hunters let me hunt them pecan orchards and stuff like that. You know, I just feel like it's the right thing to do. So, Anyway, started thinking about it, and I said, you know what? We should get us some paper holes. You know, I read a thing the other day where in Europe, they're getting rid of plastic, you know, these little Frenchies, and they're going to have paper straws for their drinks, you know, for McDonald's and everything.
Really?
I got to thinking, and they're trying to, some of these goofy hippie liberals over here were talking about how they were wanting to do it in America. And I thought, we ought to go back to paper holes. That way they're biodegradable holes. It doesn't have to be paper, but some sort of biodegradable material, you know, because I know people don't pick up holes. I've been places and it looks like somebody had a major beat down, you know, shot a case of shells or something at one spot. And think to myself, man, that is a lot of shooting.
That's not a bad idea. But let me throw something out of left field at you. All right, if we're going biodegradable, don't you think, all right, what's the two cinnamon gums? You got Big Red and then you got the other one. What's it called? Came out in the mid-90s?
Big Red, Juicy Fruit, all that Wrigley gum.
It's not Wrigley stuff. It's a different brand, but it's a cinnamon type gum like Big Red.
Wow. Oh, that's the one you ate the paper and all.
Yes.
Yeah.
Good job.
Maybe that was Cinnabars or something.
That is what we need to make the shells out of.
I agree. I agree. Yeah, that would be perfect. And, you know, I just feel like when, we as hunters, and plus it would help, you know, these boom scouters, you know, they're going to go in there and look for holes. And, I mean, when they're not there, I mean, got them again.
I'm trying to find it, man. Cinnamon Gulf. I agree with you, though, man. I mean, gosh. How environmentally sound would it be to go back to paper shells?
Be great. I mean, it's just going to help all the way around.
Dang it, man. It's not listed on here.
I might should call Federal and Fiocchi and Rio and all them and talk to them. I may have a little something up my sleeve.
I'm still trying to find it. It's not on here.
Cinnaburst?
Is that what it was called?
I don't know. I'm just guessing. But I used to eat it like crazy. And then one day I was like, you know what? I'm going to take the gum out of this wrapper because I don't trust this. But, you know, they got that goofy shot now. It's called Spectra or something. It has, like, different colored beads in it so you can tell who shot the band. Get out of here. Like, what? What are you like? Oh, I got yellow today, boys. Who's got blue? Like, get out of here.
I've heard of this. Really?
Yes, you hadn't heard of it. It's a company. Oh. Yes. I don't know if they're still making it, but last year they came out with it and you could buy different colors. So when you shot a band, you knew which one was which. They had different colored shot in them. And it was supposed to be so you would know who shot what duck. And I thought, man, these guys.
What planet are we living on?
A really bad one.
Good night. Wow.
Yeah, so anyway, we got that going for us. You need to look it up. I believe it's called Spectra Ammunition or something. And I mean, I don't know. But anyway, yeah, I had a good week. Hunted Tennessee, got them over here pretty good. And they're still slow and stale. I mean, they hadn't had any reason to eat in the last week. But this weather ought to change that. And, you know, it never gets good till December 10th anyway. So we're just waiting around, getting ready.
Hey, I want to ask you this. So you're probably not going to be peeking out. This is a late pecan year. Late December when you're really, really going to start. And once it starts getting cold consistently, that's when you'll hit the groves, right?
Yeah, you know, the days get shorter, and that's why they're migrating. And, you know, hopefully we get some weather up north. And then I'm not real concerned with snowpack, but, you know, hopefully we'll get some weather, some freezing stuff for a few days or weeks up there, freeze up those ponds and fields and stuff, and it'll push them down. But, it's La Nina, and we're going to have some warm and wet weather. It's just going to have to be something we deal with. But I'm ready to kill some big groups instead of these ones and twos and shoot into something. You know, you get a group of four now, like the other day we were hunting. I said, big group over top, everybody be still. And it was four. So, I mean, seriously, it's gotten to that. I mean, if you're hunting and you're killing into big groups right now and you're hunting anywhere where around I'm hunting, I want to see pictures and video because it's ones and twos. And then the other day we had a group of 15 come over, and I'm not kidding, Rocky, it had five species. It had mallards, teal, butterballs, either gadwall and maybe I think it was either gadwall or widgeon and something else. And we were sitting there looking at each other like, what in the world? Oh, it was a shoveler, I think. There's five species in one group. And I thought,
flying
that's
together?
When I did. Yes. And I knew then, I was like, we're screwed. And then somebody in the group posted a picture of a blue-winged teal the other day. Look, if you're killing blue-winged teal in the Mississippi Flyway after about November the 1st, we got problems. You know, you had that 30-mile-an-hour south wind or 20, whatever it was. I guess it blew them up from Louisiana, but still, I mean, you're shooting a blue-winged teal in December. Yeah, I'm going to say we got some migration issues going on.
Yeah, I mean, if you're going to kill a blue wing teal and you want him fully plumed out, you need to wait taxidermy season in February.
That's exactly right. Taxidermy season, February and March, that's the best time to get one. Don't even waste your money mounting one right now. You got to wait till them get them good colored, plumed out weegeons and tail and everything.
Hey, I ask you this. Christmas is in the air, and I know it's your favorite time of the year, but best all-time Christmas movie, Rob Crooms.
I mean, this isn't even a question. It's National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation.
I knew that you were going to say that.
I mean, it's the best ever. If anybody, and I'm going to tell you that the one that everybody likes and that would be like the number two or the most popular, the one where the dude shoots his eye out, the only funny part in that whole movie is with the leg lamp. The whole rest of the movie is stupid. And the narration is horrible. Like, just, like, why does everybody like that movie? I mean, maybe I'm the only one, because everybody watches it. I'll go to my parents, and they'll have it on for, like, a whole day straight. And I'm like, I don't want to watch this crap. I know, he shoots his eye out. He gets his tongue stuck to the fence. Like, what? What's so good about that movie? Is it just me? If it is, tell me. I can handle the truth. But it can't be that good.
The tongue to the flagpole is as good as the lamp almost. The lamp is magical, but the tongue
the lamp,
to the it's not the tongue to the light to the flagpole. It's the actual language leading up to the tongue to the flagpole. It's all it's the language we used as kids. It's the
yeah.
I dare you, I double dare you, I triple dog dare you. You know. That's what makes that part so great. But the lamp is one of the most magical moments in not only Christmas movie history, but just movie history all time.
Yeah, but you could take Christmas, you could take National Lampoon's, and I could sit here for an hour and a half talking about funny parts, because there's stuff nonstop. And I mean, you could seriously start at the very first of that movie and go all the way through it and laugh, because it's nonstop. The Christmas Story movie is just like, I hate it, and I'm sorry. I mean, I know everybody's gonna be like, you're an idiot or whatever, but I can't stand it. And I mean, whatever, you know, don't at me and don't. I mean, whatever. If you want to go watch it with your loved ones all Christmas on a freaking 24-hour loop, go ahead, bud. Have at it. But I mean, after the lamp and the flagpole, really, I mean, I bet you this. I bet you Estes has either gotten his tongue stuck to one before, or I bet you I could get him. I guarantee you, I could somehow talk him into doing it by either losing a bet or just he's so competitive with me and Jesse. I guarantee you, I could get him to do it. That may be my next big deal, is trying to get Estes to video his tongue getting stuck to something metal frozen. That's what we need to do. We need to start the GoFundMe on Duck South for that. It's got to be done on a full moon. It can't be done on any other cycle.
All right, so we're on Christmas vacation. I got to ask you this. What's the best part of Christmas vacation?
There's so many. Like, I even like the stupid parts.
Give me
parts.
Three.
Give me three. Oh, my gosh. This is going to be hard. Well, the whole thing. I can't. There's too many. I really like the part with Julia Louis-Dreyfus or whatever her name is, when she's with that guy. And she's like, what else could happen? And he turns the light off, and they fall and break everything. And she's so mad. It's so funny, because you're just like, yes, got him again. But the whole thing, man, and I mean,
Just tell me. You got a secret crush on your neighbor, right?
Oh, my God.
Because you said she was
this.
That girl in the movie.
She is, but the thing is, she's, yeah, no, I don't have a crush on her, but I, anyway, they, 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 they had a Christmas party or Thanksgiving party or Hanukkah or whatever the hell they're celebrating the other night. And beforehand, they had their kids out there, and they cleaned all the leaves out of their yard and put them on the street. And I just drove down through there the night before the party and just drove through the stack of leaves and just blew them everywhere. I mean, just straight. I'm talking just like leaves were everywhere. I got leaves in my radiator, in my front grill. They're underneath my windshield wipers. They're everywhere. My whole truck is covered with leaves. They knew who did it when they saw it. But I destroyed their leaf piles. I mean, just completely, they're everywhere. They were everywhere. There's no way they got it cleaned up. And that's what happens when you do stuff like that, because you have to pay your consequences, and that's what they got.
Ladies and gentlemen, the feud continues.
Yeah, and it's going to get worse. But, you know, I got, you know, my boys are 7, and they're twins, you know, so, I mean, I've got backup. I mean, if I, you know, in a couple of years, if I need a little, you know, a little assistance, I'm going to have it. And they're not going to be, you know, they're going to be ready for whatever. You know, I'm not worried about the, you know, whatever. And that lady could bring her golden retriever down there and whatever, poop in my yard. That's what they've been doing. They've been dropping these big dungs in my yard by my mailbox. If they think I'm not smart enough to not step in dog crap, they're crazy. You know, I've got a dog too, lady, and mine will actually listen. I'm thinking about taking my dog down there and picking up bumpers in her yard. I'm going to get one of the. I've got one of those bumper guns, you know, that shoots them like 100 yards or 100, whatever it is, 150 yards. I'm going to start shooting those down the road. She'll call the cops. She's like, he's shooting a gun. He's shooting a gun. No, I'm shooting bumpers in your yard from my driveway. I'm going to start doing that. I'm going to do it on wet days, too, so the dog just destroys the front yard. It's going to be awesome. I'm glad I thought of that.
There's so many questions that I have from this. Hold on. We're going to get back to the Christmas vacation at the end of this. But one, should you bag leaves or should you just pile them up the road for the city to pick up?
First of all, who bags or cleans up leaves? They're freaking leaves, people. Like, that's just, that. All that is added work to your life. If you got time to bag and clean up or blow leaves, then you need to get another job or some part-time job or go ring the bell for the Salvation Army. Because I don't have time for leaves. The leaves are going to be gone.
I don't either. I think it's the dumbest thing in the world. Here's my deal.
It's the dumbest.
What the hell are you raking leaves for to show off dead grass?
Yeah, I mean, you got dormant grass on top of that. Like, nobody cares that your yard doesn't have leaves in it. Nobody gives a rip. My whole neighborhood is full. There's a lot of people that bag them up. And there's a lot of people that, you know, obviously have people they pay to do it. But these people that are out in the yard on the weekends raking in leaves and putting them on a big pile, like, what are you doing? Like, go to the movies. Go, like, do something. There's got to be something better to do than to rake leaves for 8 hours. And then we got a storm Saturday morning that wind was blowing 30 miles an hour. So everything I knocked over got blown right back in the yard. So not only do you have to re-rake them, you're going to spend another Saturday messing with these stupid leaves that fall off trees. If you told, like, your great-grandparents that people were raking and bagging leaves, they would not believe you.
They'd whip your ass.
That's what I mean.
They would whip their, not your, for telling them. I'm just saying them.
No.
I'm like you. What? The second point is, once they buy, they degrade down, they're fuel or fertilized for the yard. So why
yeah.
they come up?
Yeah, they're just, these people don't know, and they want to get yard of the month and all this, and that's fine. Congratulations. Go celebrate at Olive Garden for your yard of the month plaque. Like, you know, yeah, my yard gets a little tall in the summer. Yeah, I live on about an acre lot, and I mow it with a 72-inch zero turn. Go sue me. You know, my neighbor's wife will be out there push mowing with an 18-inch push mower, and I'm out there on my zero-turn Kubota diesel, and I'm on my yard in 11 minutes. It takes 13 if I'm drinking a beer. 11 minutes gets me the front and the back, and I'm done. I don't have time to be sitting there push mowing my yard. I sure don't have time raking the leaves. So if I've got a bunch of leaves in my yard and my wife gets upset, which she never has because she's not an idiot, over leaves, then I'll just take the Kubota and blow them all out in the road and let the neighbors run over them and splash them up in the air. Who cares? It's a freaking leaf.
Never mind. Did you see how many comments we got from when I about the golden retriever? I can't imagine what we're gonna get from talking about leaves. People that rake leaves. You boys are idiots.
Seriously,
I rake my yard once a week.
Yeah, you yard rakers need to go get another job or a hobby of some sort. Go build remote control airplanes or model cars or help your kid with their soapbox derby.
I got an idea. Stay in the duck blind. Forget about leaves.
Yeah, go.
Try not to rush home to make your wife so freaking happy by raking leaves. Stay out there when the mallards are flying from 9 o'clock in the morning till 12 in the afternoon. That's when you kill most of your mallards. That's who's going home to rake leaves. These guys that are getting out of the duck blind early.
Well, or go shoot a cow. I mean, I don't know what deer season is because I don't care, but I'm sure you could go deer hunting somewhere. Or go fishing. Anything. Raking leaves is the craziest thing I've ever heard of. Like, I cannot, when I see people doing this, it makes me insane. Like, I realized they started doing these big, the pile of leaves that they had, was like 6 feet tall. I mean, and it was like 30 or 40 foot long. So, I mean, I was afraid I was going to hit their neighbor's mailbox when I did this because I couldn't see anything. And, of course, it was at night. But, what are you going to do with all those piles of leaves? Like, you're paying the city $12 a month to pick up your garbage and you're going to leave them a pile of leaves like that? Those people should have to pay $112. Because that's just taking away from time.
I got to tell you this. How cool would it be to be the guy for one day that gets to suck all those leaves up? Now, you talking about a satisfying job? Or just one day?
I would turn the fan around backwards and blow them all back in the yard. Be like, man, I don't know what happened. I was trying to suck them up, and next thing you know, they're everywhere. And I couldn't drive my truck on your yard because it would run it up. So if you'll rake them back up, we'll get them next week.
Oh! All right, so I've got two more things that I want to tell you about, but two more moments in Christmas Vacation.
Okay.
Me too.
I really like when he puts that special go-go juice on his sled, on his dish.
That's pretty
good.
And
he goes all the way into Walmart or whatever it is, the grocery store. I mean, that dude, he was flying. You know, and there's so many, and the other thing is, I got two more, actually. It's kind of a tie, and it happened around the same time. But when him and Eddie were having that conversation in the house, drinking the eggnog, and then, you know, the whole squirrel in the tree and saying grace, that whole part right there makes me laugh so hard that I see stars. And I've almost fainted a couple of times from laughing. That whole scene there from the actual, you know, Christmas dinner and everybody being there and the turkey being completely just destroyed and the old deaf lady and the squirrel and it doesn't get any better than that, because if your family doesn't have mates, like, there's always somebody that's got a gay cousin or somebody they don't like, somebody's got tattoos and earrings, and I don't have a problem with that, but some people are always like, oh, she's ain't out. You know, there's always family drama all the time with everybody. I don't care what anybody says. Your family's not perfect. There's somebody in your lineage that is messed up. And if they're not, you're either lying or you only have your wife and that's it. Everybody else is dead. So, and still, I don't really believe it. But there's always drama. So that whole movie just basically, like, if you can't relate to that movie in some way or another, then, you know, whatever. I'm done with you.
Hey, let me ask you this. Would it make Rob Kroom's all-time top five comedy movies?
I'm not sure that it's not my favorite one, period.
It is. I'm like you. No matter how many times I've seen it, I'm not saying that it gets funnier, but it is as funny as the last time I saw it.
It's amazing. I mean, Jelly of the Month, the gift that keeps giving. I mean, all he wants is a pool the whole time, and he just has these dreams of that hot girl out there. I mean, it's just everything about that movie is perfect. I mean, if you can find a 5-minute segment of that movie, a full 5-minute part in any part of that movie that you don't think is funny, please, I want you to comment in the podcast link. I want to know what I really need to know.
From the very start, from when him and Russ are in the mall.
Yeah, exactly. And there's so many interviews about hot girls, and of course his wife's hot. What's her name in real life? I can't remember, but the whole thing is awesome. I mean, I don't know. I can't wait. I've got it on DVD somewhere, and Elizabeth always ends up finding it somewhere, and I can't not watch it. And I don't want to watch it on TV unless it's on, you know, a station that'll cuss. But it doesn't get any better than that. It may be my favorite movie. Caddyshack. I don't know, man. It's right. I think it's 1A and 1B with Caddyshack. I really do.
It is. Like I said, from beginning to end, it's one of the funniest movies. I think because all of us can relate to that family. We all have that family and those crazy things that happen, and they do.
Yeah, like my parents leave town. They go on vacation, just the two of them, because they can't stand the drama. Like, they leave. They go to the beach or Sedona or wherever. They won't stay here. They're like, oh, well, y'all have a good Thanksgiving. We're out of here. It works perfect because I go hunting. I'll go to Elizabeth's parents and do whatever. But, I mean, it's just too much drama, man. There's too many. It's just family.
You're not
stuff
raking leaves, right? You're not raking leaves for Christmas.
I wouldn't rake leaves. If somebody told me I had to rake leaves to go duck hunting, I'd just be like, man, I'm going to skip this weekend. I can't. No, there's no. There is no way. If I had to go to Black Friday and stand in line for 14 hours to get a 37-inch TV, I would do that before I would rake leaves. Raking leaves is the dumbest, most ignorant waste of time in the world.
I'll tell you this. My neighbors, growing up, which is my cousins and uncle and aunt, somebody, as a Christmas present one time, gave him one of those pull-behind sweepers. You know, it had
the one that was about 4 foot wide, and it had the brooms on it.
Yes, and it would sweep.
You had to
throw
it
into the basket.
Yeah, the broom, and then when you got full, it had the quick release, and you could dump it where you wanted to. My granddad had one of those, but it's for picking up grass. Let that be known, not leaves.
That thing was it was so satisfying, though, to drive that thing around and sweep the yard and rake it up or clean it off.
You just put your John Deere 316 in high gear and let it eat, son. And it would just go. Like, I started mowing the yard when I was like 8 or whatever. I don't know. I was really young. I ran into a light pole. I broke the fence, ran over the fence, hit the house, whatever. But I was out there doing it. And then they got that thing. And I could hook that baby up after I got done. And he always told me, he's like, just go through the front yard. Don't worry about the pasture and the big lot, whatever. Just go through the main part, pick up the grass, and dump it over there by the cows. So I would go through there 100 miles or however fast it would go and pick up all that grass. It was so fun. You know, eventually I broke it, and it was like one of those things like where it wasn't that cool. But it was awesome for a long time.
Oh, man.
Because we'd let our grass grow like 1.5 to 2 feet. We don't care. I still don't care. People drive by my yard all the time, and they're like, oh, my God. Like, I have weeds. The flower beds have some weeds. I don't have time to go pull them. I get some spray at Lowe's and then spray them, and they die, but they still don't disappear. And, I mean, I don't have, 14 extra hours a week to rake my leaves and pull my weeds. I mean, get whatever.
All right.
I mean, I'm so.
I got to ask you about this because I know yesterday my preacher brought up a term that I have not heard in probably 25 years, I guess. And then it happened. I had to go to a birthday party of my niece's yesterday, and a football game broke out. All right. So I'm going to ask you this. If you got seven people trying to play backyard football, what do you usually do with the best person out of the seven?
Full-time quarterback, 3-on-3.
All-time quarterback. Man, I hadn't heard, when I freaking heard that, it just shook me. All-time quarterback. I'm all-time quarterback.
Yep.
I remember saying that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Between that and home run derby, I mean, you know, backyard football, there was never a number where you could actually have two quarterbacks. It was always all-time or full-time quarterback. Every time. It didn't matter.
And like, you always had that lucky kid that wanted to play all-time quarterback, and all of you in the back of your mind, you'd be like, he can't play quarterback. He'd throw an interception every time. But there was always that one kid that was raising his hand to be the all-time quarterback.
A lot of times it was the kid that was getting tennis lessons, you know, while we were playing, and then the spring would end, and he'd be ready to play fall, you know, all-time quarterback football.
And listen, then in baseball, it made me think about turns in baseball that you know, you never talk about really. You remember Ghost Man on first?
Yeah, oh yeah. Yeah, you got to have your men on base. I mean, you just like, get a hit and just call it like a – you can't just leave it.
Yeah, the whole deal was with the Ghost Man. I know in our rules, playing with the Ghost Man, if you made it to first, that means he made it to second.
Right, or, yeah. I had a proud dad moment the other day. My kid came home, my little one came home from school, and he said, "Dad," I said, "What?" He said, "I'm the fastest kid at school." And I said, "The whole school?" He said, "No, but I've been racing third graders, and I'm beating some of them." And I was like, "That a boy." So I know he's playing some – I know they got an all-time football game going during recess and whatnot when they're not racing. But, you know, I know, and I told him, I said, you know, when you start getting older and you have some, you know, good athletes and some, you know, some – mixed cultures in there, you're going to lose some races. But you go ahead and win them when you can. It's kind of like basketball. Both of mine love basketball. And I'm like, look, you got till you're about in the eighth grade for this basketball because you're not going to be over 5'10 or 11. I mean, it's just not going to happen. I mean, the genetics, you don't have them. So you need to be really good till about then and then think about switching to baseball or golf or something, you know, because you're, you know, we all know what's going to happen with that.
Listen, do you think that kids – I don't know. My kids, they don't – I find it crazy that they still play dodgeball. But our game back in – if it wasn't football, during spring or I guess during spring, we'd play kickball. Remember kickball?
Kickball was great. We played kickball a bunch during, like, daycare and – all the, like, vacation Bible schools and stuff. Kickball is one of the greatest games of all time because you can peg the runner.
Oh, man.
If you're pitcher and you get a lot of kickbacks or even, like, anywhere in the infield, you can peg the crap out of the runner, and that's more satisfying than anything because you're throwing a rubber
ball. What do they call that now? I know what we called it back then, but what do they call it now?
I don't know, but if they're not letting them play it, I'm pulling them out of school and taking them somewhere where they are playing.
No. I'm talking about pegging the runner to get them out. We called it a certain term 30 years ago. I know that they're not using that term today.
Yeah, I don't know.
And for those of you listening to this podcast, you know what we used to call that.
Listen, we had a 5-year-old in the blind yesterday, and I guarantee you he has already been called to the office and maybe sent home by this time right now. I guarantee it.
For listening to y'all in the blind.
Yeah, we told him, we said, when you go to school tomorrow, tell your teacher you poured a Weller's on the rocks. And there was... And then tell her you ate some bull nuts. And there was a couple other things we said that can't be said on here, but that kid is definitely kicked out of school today.
Oh. See, I'm seriously wondering what they call that. I
can't remember. I can't remember what you're talking about, but I
Man,
kickball was one of the.
We called it in-ball. In-ball rules.
Well, all I know is pegging somebody with a rubber ball that's the size of a basketball really, really hard is one of the most gratifying moments as a kid.
Oh, man. Especially the fat kid. Nothing against the fat kid. I love the fat kid. One time I may have been halfway fat. But the old slow guy, the slow fat guy pegging him, man, ooh, with a halfway flat soccer ball, you could grip that thing and rip it. Grip it and rip it and peg him.
Yeah, it was the same thing in dodgeball, though, when you catch the guy's ball that thinks he's a badass that's, like, winging him, and you catch
it,
and you just sit there like, see you later, bud.
But see, I got more satisfaction in dodgeball with hitting the guys that were really quick. But
yeah,
it was the opposite in kickball.
But you're still, I mean, let's be honest, all the games with the rubber balls like that are pretty good.
Oh, man. They still play dodgeball in Oxford, man. I can't believe it. You know, I figured that would be too insensitive to play in Oxford.
Yeah,
but
like
let's just get that out of the way. Oxford's a different tale.
Probably go to a freaking safe room after you get done getting beat. But I know one thing. If I tried to play dodgeball right now, I have these friends that play softball that are like 45. I'm like, what are you doing? Like, you... Well, you know what they're doing? I take that back. They're doing something where they don't have to rake leaves.
my dad. Neither me or my brother became softball players after the passing age of getting too old to play anything, but my dad did. But I know my dad, he played just to drink beer and whiskey with the guys. That was the reason he did it. They did it on the field back then. I mean, they seriously had it on the bench with them.
Yeah, and not rake leaves. I get it now. You know, I'm starting to get it. You know, the older I get, I'm starting to really understand this stuff. I'm starting to really understand why some of my dad, you know, my dad did some of these things now. You know, Elizabeth the other night was like, you went duck hunting and y'all killed one and you got home at 6:30. I was like, yeah. And she's like, what were you doing? And I was like, well, we were sitting there talking. And she was like, till 5:30. And I was like, well, we had to pick up decoys. She was like, and you killed one? And I was like, yeah. She was just like, I was like, look, when I'm gone for 3 or 4 days in a row to Arkansas or 5 or whatever it is, you have no clue what we're doing over there, apparently. You know, I'm not going to sit here and give you the fellowship crap and the sunrise picture bull crap, but I'm not raking leaves. I'm gone. I'm drinking chiladas, and I'm having fun. And I'm blowing my Rolling Thunder cut down so hard at ducks that sometimes it kills them. I'm not one of these J-frame finesse, oh, yeah, they're stale birds. I'm just going to barely blow at them. I saw your post, Rocky. So, yeah, I'm not one of those. I'm going to blow as hard as I can until the ducks tell me that they don't want that. And then I go soft.
Whoa. In that post, I said, man, it's different in Missouri and Arkansas than in Mississippi.
Well, I know, but then I'm going to blow at them as hard as I can like I'm in the woods. And then when I see them reacting different or they're not bowing up like they do a lot, then I'll back off and blow. I still blow my cut down, but I'll blow it real, like almost like a J-frame. But I'm taking one cut down or two cut downs and that's it. And the only reason I take two is because when I blow, I have so much spit that I have to have another call because mine eventually is going to start locking up and I got to have something I can go to that's not just completely slobber locked. And everybody's like, oh, you got to get spit grooves. That's the biggest bunch of crap. Spit grooves don't do anything to make it stick harder. What happens when you get wetness? What happens when you get moisture in a groove with a reed on top of it? It sticks.
That's true. All right, so look, all right, before I let you go, Arkansas opens up December the 6th, correct? Is that right?
Yeah, Thursday.
All right, so December the 6th till December the 24th, that is 19 days, correct?
Yes.
All right, over under, I'm going to set the number at 15. I want you to keep up with this, or 16. I'm saying 16. The number of times that you talk about or use a quote from Christmas Vacation? Did you go over 16 or under 16 that y'all talk about in the blind?
It's going to be over, but we've got so much material that, I mean, there's no telling what's going to happen. But it'll be over on that because other people start getting in the mood and watching it too. So, I mean, there'll be some – we'll probably call the shot with the shitters full a couple of times and stuff like that. So, when I call the shot, I just make stuff up and do different stuff all the time, and it's glorious. That's where we came up with Greasem.
Hey, I got to ask you this. About this time last year, one of the things that you were talking about in the duck blind, just from talking to you and knowing this, was Backup Terry. So what is the viral video that y'all are laughing about in the blind over there right now?
Well, we went back to Leroy Jenkins for a while, and it's always easy to go back to Backup Terry, but right now there really hadn't been one that's just been, you know, crazy. I mean, there's a lot of really good GIFs and memes right now, but right now it's been kind of slow. We need one to come back. About 5 or 6 years ago, maybe longer than that, on YouTube there was a video of a midget stripper, had clothes on, fully clothed, for the record, full disclosure, a fully clothed little person at a strip club that somebody had mixed, I Believe You Could Fly, to the video, and she runs and jumps off stage onto this guy, and they both fall down. They both just crash. It looks awful. I don't know if there's broken bones or just broken feelings or in hearts or what, but they went hard in the paint.
Man, you want to put a viral video up that I will watch every single time you put a midget in it?
Every time.
You mean it's just like the guy jumping off the pier, and it goes, whoop.
Yeah, exactly. If you haven't seen that video yet, just go to YouTube and type in, I think, stripper, I Believe I Can Fly. It's worth it.
Rob, this has been one of the better Mondays. I needed it, too. Oh, man. Oh, gosh. You didn't enjoy this podcast, something's wrong with you. You're probably raking leaves. You're a leaf raker.
Hashtag leaf raker.
Rob, thank you again. I want to thank all of you that listened to this edition of the End of the Line podcast, powered by DuckSouth.com.